WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Only 12,000 new jobs added to the U.S. economy in the month of October, due mostly to the hurricanes in the southeast and the continued strike at Boeing, which is now in its seventh week. Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu calls those factors atypical.
They're not reasons that are about the health of our economy. Nobody's looking at this month and changing the overall assessment of where the economy is. We have a lot of other data for that.
Donald Trump's campaign calls this the worst jobs report of the Biden administration and says things will get worse if Kamala Harris is elected. Israeli airstrikes killed at least two dozen people in northeast Lebanon overnight, according to the country's news agency. The latest deadly toll in the area since a conflict between Israel and the militant group Hezbollah escalated last month. Starting in a few hours through downtown Los Angeles, the victory parade for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who beat the New York Yankees in the World Series in five games. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. More than half of the members of a committee studying the future of the universities of Wisconsin system have recommended that UW-Madison be separated. The Madison campus of the system is by far the largest and most high profile, and 13 of the 18 members of the committee say separating it would help it compete on a national level. UW system officials and Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers have pushed back on the potential future for the school, saying they prefer to solve problems within the system and that the system is working fine. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance have announced nearly $500,000 in funding to expand reproductive and maternal health care coverage. According to a press release, Wisconsin is one of 14 states to receive the funding through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Expanding Access to Women's Health Grant Program. The OCI will use the funding to conduct a consumer survey, evaluate compliance with contraceptive coverage mandates, and promote access to the services. As the 2024 Minnesota deer season opener approaches, Department of Natural Resources officials are sharing reminders for hunters. Officials say deer numbers in the northeast part of the state are behind the goal, and it may take a few more mild winters for them to rebuild their population. DNR officials are also reminding hunters to check out their equipment to make sure everything is in good shape before heading out. If hunters harvest a deer in a chronic wasting disease management zone, they must have it checked out within 48 hours. A homeless shelter in Duluth has announced a planned expansion of their facility with an increase in the number of people experiencing homelessness. Chum officials say work to expand their Duluth facility will begin in the spring of 2025, allowing the shelter to open more beds and space and provide more services for people who are struggling. When originally built, the facility was meant to hold about 30 people. Now officials report they're seeing 100 people a day, and many are being forced to sleep on the floor of the shelter due to overcrowding. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. At 5-3, Luke Fickell asked if he's concerned about getting to a bowl game this year.
All we're thinking about is Iowa. And, I mean, to think anything past that is crazy.
NFL, the Packers injury list growing. Defensive back Jaire Alexander with a knee injury. Jordan Love with a groin. Starting center Josh Myers with a severe left wrist injury that could prevent him from blocking and pass protection.
It's really It's just going to depend on how I feel these next couple days, you know, and whether or not I feel like I can do it. I think the big thing for me is I just got to make sure I'm not going to hurt the team by playing, you know, so I just have to answer that question.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Grizzlies 122-99. A lot of missed open shots.
This may be the greatest make-miss night ever. The defensive transition was still awful tonight.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. They host the Cavaliers tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A high-pressure system has settled in, clearing those clouds and calming our winds, but also providing some crisp temperatures. Highs today will only climb to the low 40s, and tonight fall back below freezing to the upper 20s. And Saturday will be splendid with warmer temperatures. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 33 at our studios.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a one-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, a Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about a little self-care. And we're going to do an update with a woman that we met a couple of weeks ago, Greg. Margie Lowe is a senior citizen who only just became active, trying to be an organizer now. And she has an update from a candidate forum that she organized. And she sent me an email last night. We were chatting a little bit. I want to give you an update about that. I encourage everyone to be a Margie.
Yes, be a Margie. Get up and do something.
Be a Margie. Get involved. Get up and do something. 4 days to go. That is the reason we are having our next guest join us. Kyle Kilborn is running for U.S. Congress. He is running in the 7th Congressional District, which comprises much of northern and northwestern Wisconsin. Good morning, Kyle. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you are running against Tom Tiffany, who is seeking a third full term in the U.S. House. He had previously spent a decade serving in the state legislature. You are new at this, Kyle. Why did you decide to jump into this?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a small town, in a small farm. My parents had an acre farm, and my dad was a construction worker, and my mom was a waitress. So we come from a working class family, but you know, I was able to achieve my American dream. You know, I went to school and was able to leave home and get a good job. But I don't see that very often happening in our, especially northern Wisconsin these days. And so I want to make sure that people can do that, whatever their American dream is, and not that they have to leave our rural communities to get that done. And so that's why I decided to run. A friend of mine just sort of asked, have you ever thought about running for office? I'm like, no. Thought about it for a couple months, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I have some skills. I can make this happen.
It's a really big district, Kyle. You must be putting on a lot of miles.
Yeah. It's 26 parts of 26 counties in Wisconsin. Yeah, it's a lot of miles. My car just hit 50,000, and it's 2 years old, so it's got the miles. Yeah.
What are you hearing when you're out on the roads, when you're knocking on doors? What are folks telling you?
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest things is, you know, the rising cost of living. You know, it's expensive. Price of groceries, gas, prescription drugs, you know, housing and car insurance as well is one of those things. And so everyone's feeling that squeeze, especially for rural Wisconsin. You know, we have to travel a long ways to get to our doctors. It's, you know, 60 miles just to go to the doctor for me. So, you know, it's one of those things. We all feel it.
While healthcare is a big issue for everyone around the country, what can we do? What would you do if you're elected, Kyle, to try and make things more accessible for all of us?
Yeah, you know, for this district, it's just not about affordability, but it's also having access to doctors. And what we're seeing is, you know, hospitals closing around the district. Nursing care facilities are shutting down and being privatized. You know, one of the things around it is about how we reimburse rural communities to keep these things open. So, you know, you have a ER in a urban area, you know, it's easier to keep that around because more people visit it, but you still need that ER in a small community. And, you know, we need to make sure that the funding stays there for that.
Well, having to drive an hour away, I mean, that's really scary. If you're in an accident, if you're a farmer and you have an accident on the farm and you're an hour away from a hospital, that's really frightening.
Yeah, and it's getting worse. I mean, 30% of the, you know, rural hospitals in this country are in danger of shutting down. So like, it's just something that's gonna get worse until we actually decide to fix it, and that's what I plan to do.
Kyle Kilborn is our guest. He is running in the 7th Congressional District, which comprises a big chunk of northern and northwestern Wisconsin, and he is running against Tom Tiffany. I did read something, Kyle, that said that, you know, again, Tom Tiffany is an incumbent. He's been there for a long time. He's got a pretty big war chest.
He does. You know, I think the latest headline is 6 times raised more than me. The funny thing is he's, you know, raised 1.2 this cycle, but he's actually spent 1.4 million. And so he's actually spending more than he raised. So he's wearing down that war chest, which is pretty amazing that we're able to make him do that.
We've talked quite a bit about Tom Tiffany's sudden desire to have the Apostle Islands declared a national park. Are you hearing much about that when you go door to door?
Oh, definitely.
Are you?
I've even had Republicans write me a letter and saying they're opposed to it. Like, wow. They're like, how do I get your yard sign? And so I'm like, well, you're gonna have to go to a Dem office. They're like, right, well, that's gonna be fun. Our neighbors are gonna be confused. We're gonna have a Trump sign and we're gonna have your sign, but you know, like, we're just so opposed to it.
And what is their opposition? Because again, we've talked about this a couple of times, and it seems like, at least for the detractors of this, it seems like Tom Tiffany wants to use this in order to encourage mining on one particular island, in the Apostle Island, Sand Island, instead of working with communities to find out if they're prepared to handle a big influx of tourists.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. There's different reasons why people oppose it. You know, part of that is, you know, it's the lack of infrastructure that actually can handle that. You know, the city and the county of Bayfield are opposed to it because they can't handle the tourists we have now with the housing, the strain is going to put on, you know, the emergency services. I think for some people, you know, they love the Apostle Islands as they are and like worry about what's going to happen. Sand Island is one of those things where it becomes a preserve, which has less protections. And so that's definitely one of those things. The tribal communities are upset that, you know, some of their treaty rights are going to be affected as well. And there's no guarantee for that. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. You know, my perspective is Tom's doing it because he wants to run for governor, wants to get known around the state. And that's his perspective of why he's doing this.
Oh my God. I never even thought about that, Kyle. Oh no. Well, Kyle, we've talked to a lot of candidates, and one of the things that interests us, and Jane alluded to it a little bit a moment ago, was knocking on doors and having those conversations with people. And you just spoke about, you know, Republicans will have a Trump sign and a sign for you. When you're knocking on those doors and people see that you're running for office, are they, you know, how do they feel about having the actual candidate come to their door and take the time to listen to what they need out of their representation here in Wisconsin?
Yeah. I mean, you know, such a big district, most of the time people don't see candidates. And so I've been to, you know, like Florence County, I knocked on a door there. It's way, way up northern by the Michigan border. And they're like, shock. Like, I've never had anyone knock on my door ever.
What are you doing here?
I am a congressman.
So, you know, it's fun to do that and then sort of meet people that way, you know, and I go up to everyone, you know, I go up to people that have Trump hats and, you know, say, hey, I'm running for Congress. They're like, oh, what are you running as? Democrat. Like, oh, well, I don't like Democrats. I'm like, but I'm running against Tiffany. Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
Let's like, talk. That's yeah, amazing. Exactly.
Is there Tiffany fatigue, do you think, Kyle?
Oh, definitely. One of the things I love doing when I drive, you know, across the district is looking at yard signs and seeing if they have the whole collection or not. Often they don't. The Republicans might have a Trump and a Hovde, but then they skip over Tiffany and go to an assembly candidate. And so I'm like looking at, okay, do they have the collection or not? And, you know, making up stories of what that might mean. But I think a lot of people they know him. He's been running for 20 years in Wisconsin. So he started, you know, running for state Senate and, you know, and I think people are tired of him.
Yeah. Well, and I think, again, they're tired of the inaction. They're tired of nothing getting done. And the lip service, again, talking about, there were several articles about Tom Tiffany's sudden support now to turn the Apostle Islands into a national park. And yeah, he met with lobbyists in Washington about this. He met with some representatives of the tribes involved in Washington, but he hasn't actually gone to those areas and talked to the mayor of Bayfield and the other cities that would be impacted by this.
Yeah, I mean, he's talked to his Republican Assembly friends, I mean, and get their letters of support. It's like, okay, well, yeah, of course your colleagues and friends are going to support this, but what about the people on the ground? And so, you know, we see that, you know, 30 days, I started running against a different candidate. He's been one of the authors of raising the Social Security age. I mean, he was part of the Republican Study Committee in 2023 that put a proposal together. And 30 days before election, he says, oh, no, I don't support raising the age. And
so, of course, like, not. You know,
of course not. You know, it's a re-election season. So he's had a change of tune.
Did he take a photograph standing near the Blotnick Bridge and then claiming credit for bringing the money to that district? He voted against the Infrastructure Act.
Yeah, and now he says, oh, it's a good idea.
Oh, what a great thing.
Yes. Yeah. Like a lot of those politicians do, is like, we got $300 million for the thing that I voted
against.
Yes. Yeah. It's the same thing with veteran benefits and, you know, the PACT Act, which supported veterans that were, overseas and had, you know, exposure to toxic chemicals. He voted against that. So it's, you know, and he's running a veterans ad, like how he helps veterans. And so it's, you know, the hypocrisy is large.
Yeah.
Kyle Kilborn is our guest. He is running for the 7th Congressional District here in Wisconsin against Tom Tiffany. Kyle, do you think that the change in the maps has more people excited about this election now that we might actually be able to see some changes instituted in Wisconsin?
Yeah, definitely. I've been running since April 2023, so one of probably the most longest running candidates out there. Have yet to meet someone that has been running longer than me. And so I could see these waves. So when the maps were announced, you could see that this excitement around all these new candidates coming out. This district, you know, it is so huge. So we have a lot of assembly and state Senate candidates, and it's been amazing to sort of see them out on the ground and talking with them and that excitement. And then when the top of the ticket changed, that was like the second wave of excitement. So, you know, this district, you know, it's often written off as, you know, not viable, but, you know, we see this excitement. We see volunteers. The first year I was running the picnics and fairs, it was a lot of older folks. And then the second year, it was a lot of new folks that have never volunteered before, never gone out there. And so I met this veteran and wife who, for the first time, are coming to volunteer. They got kicked out of a Trump rally. So it's pretty amazing.
They got kicked out of a Trump rally?
Yeah, they were protesting. They were in the spot where the airport told them to be. And then the Trump people said, no, you can't be here. And so they got kicked out. And it was the first time they've ever volunteered and gotten involved in politics. So it was pretty amazing.
We're going to continue our conversation with Kyle Kilborn, running in the 7th Congressional District here in Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
What makes Wisconsin great?
Find out as Todd Albaugh and friends tour the state by bus, and they're coming to a city near you.
If people want to come out and say hi, first drink is on us, whether it's alcohol or not, and then some cheese curds, and we're going to be doing that all week long.
La Crosse to Eau Claire, Stevens Point to Appleton. Learn more and where to join them at civicmedia.us/whatmakeswisconsingreat.
The Todd Albaugh Show, a tour of, by, and for the people, all week, noon to 2. Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 910 AM WBZH and the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide. On the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number's the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Kyle Kilborn. He is running for Congress in the 7th Congressional District against Tom Tiffany. Kyle, we have a phone call we're going to take real quickly. Cindy from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Good morning, Kyle. Good luck to you, because that Tiffany's got to go. Anyway, a few things you forgot to talk about were he is in support of more CAFOs in this state. He's also in support of more big mining. He opposes any kind of regulation for PFOSs. He is anti-wolf. He was one of them that voted to have that wolf slaughter up north in February of 2021. And he also does not support the Endangered Species Act. So I'm wondering where you are on all of those issues.
Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point of contention between us. I think for me, you know, I acknowledge climate change, which he does not. He thinks it's a hoax. He still says hurricanes. There's always been hurricanes. I just had a discussion with him this week, and he's like, well, yeah, there's more costs in Florida from hurricanes because more people are living down there. It has nothing to do with more hurricanes. So.
No.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, you know, for me, you know, climate change, yeah, it's a threat, but it's also an opportunity that we're not taking advantage of. You know, Wisconsin is, you know, our love of outdoors. It's amazing. And unfortunately, you know, because we have someone like Tiffany who doesn't believe in climate change, he doesn't believe in renewable energy either. And so we're not taking advantage of, you know, the Infrastructure Act and the Climate Change Act to sort of build those new technologies and build that production in the district. And so for me, you know, that is one of the key planks of my platform is the environment and making sure that we have clean water and clean air. You know, we are finding PFAS all across the district. In Oneida County, one of the wells in one of the cities is like one of the worst in the nation for PFAS exposure. And so, you know, it's something that he says, well, we need more research. We don't know what the effects of it, and we need to do more research. So we need to start taking action. And that's where we differ, is he'll just say we need more research without getting, yeah,
without getting anything done.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He doesn't want to spend money on it, because that's his big platform. Money, anything that costs money in a bill, he votes no. I mean, it could be funding the government, it could be yeah, anything that costs money, no.
I mean, he can look for more research. Meanwhile, people in communities he represents are drinking bottled water because they can't drink the water coming out of their tap. So I ask, I mean, this is me asking Tom Tiffany if he's listening. He's not, but still, Where's your research? How much is enough? Let us know, because people are having, or are you going to pay for all their bottled water while you're at it? Because these people need clean, they deserve clean drinking water.
And I would think too, Kyle, I mean, not that we talked about this earlier in the show, that Wisconsin's very much a pro-conservation state. We have all kinds of outdoors people and hunters and all of that stuff. And folks on the ground in the 7th Congressional District have to have seen the climate change with their own eyes.
Yeah, I mean, we experienced it last winter when the snow didn't come.
Yep.
Like, that devastated our tourism industry. And, you know, sort of ignore that and say, how are we going to protect the district and make sure that it stays the way it is? And, I mean, tourism is a huge thing. And he's still advocating for mining. Like, even in Oneida County, he has, you know, some friends on the board that, you know, tried to bring it up again. And, you know, the voters have voted multiple times. We do not want mining up here. And he still tries. He's working with American Stewards of Liberty, this anti-conservation group that's bringing this stuff up here. It's just, it's crazy.
It's amazing what you can accomplish when you have such American Stewards of Liberty. Good Lord. You know, one of the things, Kyle, you spoke about before is that people will look at the Northwest area of Wisconsin as foregone. It's going to be red. It's going to be Trump. But I worked in the Obama election in 2008. And, you know, that area voted handily for Barack Obama. There is the energy and the thoughts and the people out there to bring out those votes. And you're talking to them. And what we're hearing is that they want to change. I'm not saying they're going to become Democrats or liberals all of a sudden, but they're willing to put your sign on their yard along with a Trump sign to show that it's not just red and blue. It's what who's going to do best for the state.
Yeah, I hear it all the time. People are like, well, I don't vote party. I vote the candidate. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me more about that. Yeah. And people do take the time to actually research candidates. They're just not a straight ticket sort of group. They actually take the time and sort of look at what the candidates are saying, what they're going to do for them.
We've been talking a lot about, you know, early turnout. Women are turning out in big numbers in this election. And we've talked a lot about the effect of the Dobbs overturn and also these ads now that are airing, encouraging husbands, wives, both sides, to vote your conscience when you go in the booth. Your spouse, your partner doesn't need to know how you vote. Are you feeling much of that at the doors?
I mean, there are some, you know, I've been in some houses, very few, but I've been like chased off the lawn by the husbands.
Oh, my goodness.
It does happen. But I think, you know, what this area is known for is independence and freedom. And so when we talk about freedoms, especially reproductive freedoms, people understand like, okay, this is a woman. We don't need to have the government telling us what to do. And people respect that. Like when you tell them, like, do you really want the government involved in your doctor's office? And they don't. Even no matter what side they're on, most of them say, no, I don't want that. And so they understand that.
I'm relieved that they don't necessarily take their medical, their OBGYN advice, say, from a veterinarian.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kyle Kilborn is a candidate for the 7th Congressional District running against Tom Tiffany. Thank you so very much for joining us, Kyle.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Good luck. Four days.
Yeah.
News is coming up next when we return. A little update on Margie Lowe. Be a Margie. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast statewide, nationwide, potentially globally, Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Rusk County town is appealing a federal injunction requiring it to use accessible voting machines. The town of Thornapple was hit with the injunction a few weeks ago, accused of violating the Help America Vote Act by removing voting machines and deciding to hand count paper ballots for the April and August primary elections. The town's appeal challenges the definition of voter system. The town attempted to have the lawsuit dismissed, but their motion was denied by Wisconsin Western District Chief U.S. Judge James Peterson. A Rice Lake man accused of evading police during a high-speed chase has been located and charged. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, 21-year-old Logan Olson of Rice Lake was charged with fleeing an officer, recklessly endangering safety, operating with a revoked license, and bail jumping on Monday. The chase started when a Barron County officer attempted to stop the motorcycle being driven by Olson when he fled. He allegedly reached speeds of 90 miles per hour and escaped by driving on a walking trail where police could not follow. Superior residents will see a jump in their utility bill after regulators approved rate hikes on Thursday. Superior Water, Light, and Power asked the Wisconsin Public Service Commission for an 18% hike on water, 17% hike on natural gas, and 2.2% hike on electric. Instead, regulators approved a 14.6% increase for gas, a nearly 11% increase for water, and a 1.3% increase for electric. The company says they wanted to raise over $7 million to improve infrastructure and clean up a former gas plant. After collecting nearly 300 submissions and narrowing them down to 10 finalists, it's time for Duluth residents to vote for their favorite in their first-ever snowplow naming contest. Among the 10 finalists are names like Sled Zeppelin, Blizzard Wizard, and Edgar Allan Plow. Residents have until November 4th to vote for their favorite name on the City of Duluth's website, and the winner will be announced on November 11th. The winning name will also be displayed on the snowplow at the Christmas City of the North Parade on November 22nd. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. U.S. Congressman Adam Schiff is proposing legislation that would help keep film and TV production here in the United States. Variety reports that the film industry has wanted these incentives for a long time to help keep production from going overseas. Production in the U.S. has dropped consistently the last 3 years. Variety says the federal incentives would supplement incentives that already exist in states like Georgia, New Mexico, and Illinois. The shower scene in the film Psycho is iconic and made people scared to take showers. Compared to a new shower scene in Terrifier 3, the Psycho scene would be considered subtle, maybe even a love scene. Terrifier 3 is getting attention from the amount of people walking out of the film absolutely disgusted with said scene. One person in the UK actually vomited while watching the scene where two lovers are chainsawed to death in the shower. Filmmakers used 110 gallons of blood. What's really scary is there were probably some people in the audience watching with a smile on their face. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A high-pressure system has settled in, clearing those clouds and calming our winds, but also providing some crisp temperatures. Highs today will only climb to the low 40s, and tonight fall back below freezing to the upper 20s. And Saturday will be splendid with warmer temperatures. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 33 at our studios.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Kristen Lyerly join us as we wrap up the campaigning and get all set for the voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, Tuesday, Election Day, November 5th, we have special civic media coverage of the election starting at 6 p.m. with a cast of thousands. Ken Schaefer will be there. He's going to have his own little recombobulation area.
Is he going to be our Steve Kornacki?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to go to him.
Is he going to get a touchscreen?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not a touchscreen. But it's going to be great. It really is. So I hope you can join us across the Civic Media Radio Network next Tuesday, starting at 6 p.m., right after Dom Salvia wraps up his show. So a bunch of us are going to be in Madison next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I wanted to mention this because I was just so impressed with her. We met Margie Lowe a couple of weeks ago.
October the 16th.
October the 16th. She had sent us an email on Jane Says.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever want to reach out to the show, the easiest way is janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Because she had decided to organize a town hall meeting.
Yes.
She's never done anything like this before. She's in her 70s.
Yeah.
But she's just tired of the incivility. And she, you know, she said, you used to be able to have town halls where people would disagree about things, but you could actually talk about things. And now we have so many politicians that won't even show up to town halls because they don't want to deal with it.
And a lot of them will gloss over the concerns of the senior community.
Yes. So she set up this town hall at the Marriott where she encouraged seniors to attend, and then she reached out to a bunch of candidates. And I got a follow-up from her, and I just wanted to share this with you. She said, here's a few things I learned after hosting this event. This is from Margie Lowe. It's hard to do this alone, but not impossible. I have a new respect for campaign organizers. Keep good records. Write everything down. Mm-hmm. I'm creating a how-to manual because she's going to keep doing this. And she says, don't get discouraged. Just plan for the next election.
And honestly, this is how these types of events get started. They start as a small little event in a hotel conference room. And then it becomes a thing where candidates know
We got to go talk to these people.
We got to go to Margie's town hall, because if you want to talk to the seniors, and not to use it as leverage, but like if you want some senior votes, we got to go to Margie's, because Margie is important. She started this thing. Like that is the best attitude.
Absolutely. It's
from getting off the couch to organizing to doing, and then to say, all right, postmortem time. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? How do we make the next one bigger, better? And Margie, if I can give you, yes, one piece of advice, employ help.
Yeah.
Get yourself a friend or two who can just take care of the details with you.
Some of the office stuff, maybe. Oh, yeah.
Less stressful.
There's so many details to keep up on, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But she did say the Democrats were wonderful.
Yeah.
She invited people on both sides of the aisle.
Of course.
Jody Habesh-Sinikin had a conflict, but she adjusted her schedule and came.
Look at that.
Ben Steinhoff and William Walter both came. All three were very open and supportive. All three Republican candidates declined, citing conflict issues.
That is telling.
And again, I believe this is one of the reasons why she wanted to do this, because they have been so locked in their safe gerrymandered districts, they don't have to respond to people's concerns.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't need you.
No, and honestly, if I'm going off of any sort of information we've gotten, say, from a guy who owns California property, who's running for the U.S. Senate because he's rich and bored, he doesn't think old people's votes really matter that much to begin with.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me that they didn't show up. It disappoints me. It doesn't surprise me, because there's a lot of older folks out there who are conservatives and Republicans. I mean, make some time. If anything, send a surrogate, send a campaign worker, send a friend. Be like, hey, I can't make it, but someone
I'll
who knows.
Send my yes,
and I will take all your information. I want to be, but we will be represented there. But just to not show up and cite conflict, I'm sorry, but you can make it work. Jody Habesh-Sinikin adjusted her schedule. and made it work.
It just seems to me like seniors in the last couple of years, because they've always been a very important voting bloc.
Yes.
Because they vote regularly in every election.
Yes.
But it does seem to be that there is less attention on that group of voters now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think it's a fallacy on both sides. I think that Democrats can think that older people aren't going to vote for them because they're older and conservative, which is a fallacy. And I think conservative people expect them to vote conservative because they're older, which is also a fallacy.
Yes.
It all goes back to what we were talking about with Kyle and all of these other candidates. You knock on the door and you talk to them. They might not be your party, but if they're a good person, they're going to have a conversation with you. And they might not even vote for you, but you've made an impression upon them. And those who showed up to this event, I guarantee you made an impression upon the people who came out, because it's one thing we all want, regardless of your age, your gender, or any of those things. We want to be listened to, we want to be respected, and we want to be part of the conversation. And seniors and children who are going to be voting age are constantly left out of the conversation because they're not seen as important or viable.
Well, Margie's still fired up. She's gonna keep working at it.
No doubt.
She's gonna keep organizing, and that's why I encourage all of us to be a Margie.
Be a Margie.
I don't care how old you are, how young you are.
Yeah.
You can still get involved, and it's important for all of us.
I'm looking at the live stream right now. We got a lot of people on the live stream right now because of the Dan Schaefer bump. Be a Margie. Go vote. Talk to your friends.
Make a plan. If you are going to vote on Tuesday, on election day, maybe take a couple friends with you.
Yeah.
Go cast your votes. Go get a nice lunch. Make it a thing.
Jane, it sounds like we should make a plan. We should vote. And then maybe have some self-care time. Take care of ourselves.
That is a really important thing.
Treat yourself, if you will.
We were talking in the last break. I haven't been sleeping very well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm up every night. I wake up at 2 o'clock, and it's like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What should we do for self-care, Greg Bach?
Well, I mean, everybody is different, but one thing that's great, and unfortunately, the internet's not opening it up right now, but Terry Barr, Civic Media's very own Terry Barr, wrote an article on civicmedia.us talking about 3 tips to find your peace in the political storm. I think those have to go with self-care, which is, you know, step away from the noise first.
Put the phone down.
Get away from social media. Connection. Connection was one of, there was 3 things. It was, I can't remember the first one, but there was social media. Get away from that. Put it down. Just put your phone away and walk into another room for an hour. Also, make real life connections with people. Talk to them. Have a conversation. It doesn't have to be political. It shouldn't be political. But just take care of yourself. As far as personal for me, I mean, I've already voted. I voted on Monday. Very quick process in Kenosha. This weekend, it's a very busy weekend with the club. And then it's going to be in the car going right to Madison for the thing.
On Monday, yeah.
On Monday. So it's going to be a Sunday trying to take some time. Just
to breathe.
To breathe. Like, just maybe go for a nice walk, go for a lunch. But you've earned that. You're doing the good work.
You can take a break.
What are you going to do, Jane?
I'm going to clean my house.
That's, you know what? That's self-care. That's your version. I'm not going to tell you it's wrong. My self-care always involves the least amount of getting up as possible, but everyone does it differently.
It's got to get done.
Yeah. Calvin, do you have, I want to predict what Calvin's self-care will be. I'm going to say it's going to be reading, painting Warcraft figurines, and playing video games. Am I wrong or am I right, Calvin Butenhoff? Slick, Calby.
It's probably will be painting Warhammer figures.
There you go.
That usually includes listening to a podcast or reruns of SVU. I do that.
Hey, whatever brings you
whatever
that.
Works.
Yeah.
What kind of podcast do you listen to, Kel?
Warhammer podcast.
No, not necessarily. Just, I guess, like some comedy ones, some like history ones, a mix of stuff.
Nice.
But not a political podcast when you're trying to do a little self-care.
Oh, yeah.
I like political podcasts, but yes, they kind of just raise my heart rate a little too much these days.
I mean, to be fair, he works for a network that puts out political podcasts all day long. So I would understand
he's
why you'd want
to disconnect.
But that's great. And, you know, let us know what you're doing to self-care, to take care of you.
How do you take your break?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you take your break? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you can call and text directly from the Civic Media app.
So amazing.
So amazing. I want to go back to something we had talked about a little bit earlier, and this is also something that came up earlier in the week.
Yeah.
This whole alpha male, beta male thing.
Yeah.
Grr. Mike from Green Bay texted in, and I think this is really great. He's listening in WGBW. I don't know what an alpha male versus a beta male is, but I will say this. I drive a semi 60 plus hours a week. I literally built my home with my two hands. And I just finished building a woodworking shop so I can make furniture that my wife designs. I go about my business quietly, I keep my head down, and I provide for my family. If someone like Trump or Vance tried to hang out with my group, they would get eaten for lunch.
I want to be Mike's best friend. I want to go to his woodworking shop and be like, teach me how to do this, sir. That is, honestly, I agree. All those labels get out of my face. That's the kind of man I want to grow up to be. I want to be a man who does good work, takes care of his family with his partner, and just lives his life in kindness and goodness and just does his thing.
And compassion.
Exactly.
And reliability.
Mike from Green Bay, you rule.
Integrity, honesty. I don't know those crazy little things.
Just the idea. I just imagine Trump or Vance walking up to like his garage where all his buddies and friends are hanging out, maybe drinking a beer, and they're like, why are you here right now?
Oh, no, you're not coming.
Walk away.
Tom from LA is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. Morning, Greg. I would say self-care would be going to the gym.
Hmm.
And also, and actually when people, I wear my Kamala or Harris Walls shirt, of course, but, put my headphones in, and if someone even comes up to me to talk about politics, it's not the time. So yeah, that's just the bottom line. And the other thing I would say is volunteering, you know, phone banking. That's the one thing that really, really, for some reason, I don't know if it's because I'm ADHD and I have, you know, just high stimulation is what I need. But the thing is, it's one of those things where it kind of relaxes me when I get very, very high stimulation. And that being, phone banking. So getting away from some of the media, of course, I don't get away from Civic Media as much as I probably should. But you guys probably like that.
So. We're fine with that, Tom.
You never have to leave, Tom. We don't ever want. No, you can always take a break. But I think you make a really good point.
Yeah.
That is your space where you don't want politics to intrude. So for this hour, this is my space.
And I'm going to say this, and I mean this, Tom, with all the living due respect you deserve with all the work you do. We see you on the text line. We see you in the comments. We know how passionate you are. But if Tom from LA can turn the politics off for 1 hour, we all can. Take that time for yourself. It will do you a heaping, helping load of good.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. We're going to wrap it up with Gene from Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for joining us. We got about a minute. What do you want to say?
First of all, great show as always. Outstanding.
Thank you.
And also, what I do is I love to listen to James Santel, Amicus, a law review for 2 hours, and you're learning new things. It's not political. You're learning new things, and I strongly recommend it, as well as listening to you guys every day. So thank you very much, and have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you so much, Gene.
Jeannie is not a paid endorser of this network.
She is just a light.
She
is just a shining, bright, happy light. Thank you so much,
Gene.
Really appreciate that. All right, stay with us. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing, the Great Cheese Caper Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy. But that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder that after the news at noon, Todd Alba will continue his road trip across Wisconsin. What makes Wisconsin great? Along with Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen will be there as well. So join Todd today from noon to 2 p.m. as they wrap up their across-the-state tour.
And then we're going to see him next week.
We're going to see him next week, Tuesday night. We will have all kinds of election coverage starting across the network at 6 p.m. So we're all going to be hunkered down in Madison for a couple of days. And it's going to be a really great evening. We have fabulous guests lined up.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep you posted as results start to come in. So join us for that Tuesday. I know, deep breath.
Four days left.
Tuesday starting at 6 o'clock. It is 11:52. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. This shouldn't be a thing. Great cheese escapade.
Get it? Great cheese edition.
GRATE.
Get it?
Nice.
We're comic geniuses here.
What's going on?
So, and it's taking everything not to do a British accent right now, a real harumphy one, but the British artisanal cheese community is reeling from what's being called the great or great. Cheese heist of 2024 after imposters stole tens of thousands of pounds, weight-wise, of high-value cheddar from a major distributor.
Ouch.
London-based retailer and cheesemaker Niels Yard Dairy. They are the victim of, quote, this is true, victim of a sophisticated fraud resulting in the loss of over 300,000 pounds money worth of cloth-bound cheddar, the equivalent of $389,000 worth of cheese.
How much?
$389,000 worth of cheese. And none of them are in like sliced up in singles. So what are we doing here, people?
There's criminal gangs involved with cheese.
Oh yes, they're very sophisticated. They have bowler hats and little mustaches.
That absolutely should not be.
No, it should not be a thing. And no. Also, I feel like that's just me. If you are handling items of such high value, it needs to be like better security then. Because if they got away with $400,000 worth of cheese, imagine how much is left. Lots. It involved a fraudulent buyer posing as a legitimate wholesale distributor from a major French retailer. Man, this is a movie. This is going to be a movie.
Oh, absolutely.
With the cheese delivered before the discovery of the fraudulent identity. I mean, seriously, this is Ocean's 11, but for cheese.
I was just going to say that. Ocean's fromage.
Ocean's au fromage.
Oh yes.
The thieves made up with 900, and what I love are the numbers. 950 wheels over 22 metric tons, or roughly 48,500 pounds of Hafod, Westcombe, and Pitchfork cheddar.
Wow.
Yeah, that's no one should steal.
We're not
advocating for theft. We're not advocating for creamery in a creamery. What we will say is this is the most hilarious one we've done so far. This is the most hilarious heist of 2024.
They got away. They're still on the run.
Exactly.
They're still on the run.
The police are looking for 5 to 7 really bound up men. We're like,
Hopefully we'll be able to have a complete the circle. If and when these criminals are taken into custody, we'll have an update amazing. For you at that point. It's 11:56. That was today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Greg Bach. Next week, coming up on Monday, we're going to have a very busy show. Alexander Vindman is going to return.
Yes.
If you remember, he was very instrumental. He testified in the first impeachment trial of the former president. And he was there when Donald Trump made the call to Ukraine, essentially saying, yeah, you want the aid you promised me? Well, I need you to do me a favor. Alexander Vindman will be here to talk about what a second Trump term could mean, especially on the global stage and our relationships with our allies and just how important that is.
Yeah.
Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University. Wonderful, wonderful guy.
So excited.
Derek's going to come into the studio and join us on Tuesday. On Monday, rather, and then Tuesday, retired Major General Randy Manner is going to be back from National Security Leaders for America, again, talking about what a second Trump term could mean, not just for America, but for the global world order.
We're going to keep talking about this even after the election because it's information that's always going to be important to all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Enjoy the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Make time to make a little time for yourself. Put down the phone, go outside.
Go for a walk.
Go for a walk, touch some grass, take care of yourself, and stay close for the news is coming up next, followed by the one and only Todd Alba Show. Thank you so very much, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend. You get the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you on Monday.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel joins me. We will discuss the Wisconsin Amendment to the Constitution. What does it mean? How should we vote? And we'll preview the probable lawsuits after the election. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it.
How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.